Christ's ascension into heaven, which the church marks this week, is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. It took place 40 days after the resurrection and celebrates the reality of Christ's return to the Father before the second coming. But how can we explain this biblical event, and what is its main importance and symbolism for the church? To find out more, I turn to Father Luke Buckles, a Dominican priest and professor at Rome's Pontifical Angelicum University.
The mystery of the life of Christ is from his birth, his suffering, death, resurrection, and finally his glorious ascension into heaven. This means that Christ, in his glorified humanity, is in heaven as our hope, who rose from the dead, but also causes us to lift up our hearts, lift up our eyes to the reality that Christ risen is in heaven. And this would then be our future as well.
Of course, it's a celebration, a joyful event, because it's also a sign and a symbol, isn't it, that there's going to be the second coming?
Yes, because in fact, in our ancient Dominican liturgy, the days before Christ's coming in Bethlehem, the Oanaphons had a particular very beautiful musical setting, and then the words that we still have, of course. And that particular musical setting, the antiphon before the Magnificat at Vespers, is only repeated one other time in the whole year, and that would be the antiphon before the second Vespers of the Ascension. So the idea that through his incarnation, Christ entered into our human life, and through his ascension, his humanity, now glorified, returns to heaven. And so it's connecting the mystery of his entry into our life and his entry into heaven as a hope for us that as every Mass we anticipate Christ coming in glory, receive him now in the Holy Eucharist, and remember his suffering, death, and resurrection.
Our main account of it comes from the Acts of the Apostles. Do we have any idea why, for instance, Matthew didn't mention it at all and the others only really in passing?
I think it has to do, and this is, I'm not a scriptural scholar, but my opinion is that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of course, are the historical account of the life of Jesus. But the Ascension is also right before Christ's promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And the second volume of Luke, the Acts of the Apostles, is the continuation of the presence of the risen Christ in the foundation of the church. And so we think Mary, Holy Spirit, Christ is born, Christ lives, dies, is resurrected, ascends to heaven. Mary, the Apostles, the Holy Spirit, the church is born.
You talked, of course, about the mystery, and it was something that was hard to grasp. I mean, the apostles in the biblical account are totally baffled, aren't they? And the angel says, what are you staring up into heaven about?
Surely. And in fact, that's why we speak of the mystery of faith of the resurrection. And a continuation of that mystery, everything dealing with the life of Christ. Once we have the word God in a sentence, we're beyond our human capacity to understand. Not contradicting our reason, but simply beyond what we could understand. And so the ascension of Christ and his resurrection are simply a new, astonishing event in human history, salvation history. So those eyewitnesses were baffled. It took time for them because they had never encountered a glorified body, which is what we believe, that Christ truly rose from the dead, and a bodily resurrection and the ascension of his glorified body, his humanity, to heaven.
And also, the ascension, of course, comes 40 days after the resurrection. Of course, in the Bible, we've got so many 40 days. Do you have any idea why this 40 days first came about? Could you fill me in?
Again, as we read the Bible, the saving truth is expressed in human language, metaphors, figures of speech. And also the idea of 40. One could say the people of God wandered in the desert for 40 years. The season of Lent was 40 days, but the whole season of Easter is not only the time between Jesus resurrection and ascension, but Pentecost as well. But the idea of 40, perhaps as a recapitulation of God's leading his people and salvation history.
Let's look back a little bit at the history of this feast. When do we find the first reference to the ascension being marked as a specific feast day by the early church?
Well, certainly there are various early authors. John Chrysostom writes about it, Gregory of Nyssa also, and they died before the year 400. Augustine, in his writings, certainly knows of the feast. Because it is recorded in the Bible, he sees it as going back to apostolic times, like the Lord's Day is apostolic, as the apostles would meet to celebrate the Holy Eucharist and the resurrection. So it was seen as something known to the apostles by Augustine.
Can you tell us something about the traditions on Ascension Day, such as processions or blessing of fruit that are sometimes held to symbolize the event? Could you tell us, you know, how and where they are mostly celebrated, or if you know of anyone in particular that particularly struck you?
Well, I would say maybe I could just mention briefly one of them. And in this procession, it's to remind us of our Lord's procession to heaven, his ascension itself, and also his own human journey to the Mount of Olives, from which he ascended.
The ascension has often been portrayed in art by many famous painters throughout the ages. Do you have any particular favorites? And if so, why?
I couldn't really limit myself to one, but just the sense of triumph, exaltation, and joy that we see. The sense of theologically St. Paul's reminding us the already and not yet. Christ has risen, Christ has ascended. For me, theologically, it's also what we mean by hope. And here we can think of Pope Benedict's Spes Salve, the hope that saves. Our human life is an invitation to lift up our hearts in hope. And that's, for me, a big difference between what I call human optimism, which is a psychological thing, the idea that perhaps things will be better. But there comes a point where human optimism, and I can say this, because by temperament I'm optimistic, is exhausted, doesn't go far enough. And that's exactly the place of the ascension, because our hope is real, a living hope, because Christ has risen and Christ has ascended. And here he is literally doing what he said and promised to prepare a place for us. I would actually like to simply pray the prayer that we will hear at the Mass. God our Father, make us joyful in the ascension of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we follow him into the new creation, for his ascension is our glory and our hope. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
I was speaking to Father Luke Buckles, a professor at Rome's Angelicum University.